Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast, where we're going to roll back the years for you tonight, because it's just myself, Stephen Goldsworth, and Gareth Barker talking about Sunderland. You might be disappointed with that, but, you know, sometimes the pool...
Yeah, sometimes
we've got a big pool, and then sometimes...
Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not very often where it's just me and you, though.
No.
And it'll be better...
Years since that's happened, I think.
Yeah, and it's probably better that we do something than nothing, and there's going to be load. There'll be a podcast tomorrow night after the Rotherham game, reaction. There'll be a reaction... on Saturday after the Bolton game, and on Thursday night, Tom Walsh is going to host a show. A few of the new writers who've joined Wise Men Say, I'm sure you've, well, I hope you've checked out their stuff. It's pretty good. A few of them, it turns out, are knocking around the northwest. So Tom's arranged to
get together
in the pub. So I guess it'll be like the Fausto ones that Matthew and the lads do. But
and they're going to... preview the Bolton game.
Preview the Bolton game. It's appropriate, so, considering it's a northwest.
Yeah, so lots of podcast goodness for you this week.
Loads. Too much of anything.
We do have quite a bit of crack on with tonight, though, because we can react to the game. We can react to the reaction pod. And, of course, we've got a game against Rotherham to discuss.
So. Lots of discussions whether or not you were drunk or not.
Well, of course I was.
I thought you were driving down.
Yeah, we stayed over.
You stayed over?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. It's got like a place on Airbnb, the back of somebody's farm, that little barn thing.
Right. So did you ask them first?
Yeah, it was canny. Interestingly, like, because obviously Mickey Loft came down with us, and he'd only decided he was gone the day before. And then we kind of like, and then somebody, we'll credit them, the guy called Wayne, I think he's linked with ELS in somewhere, offered him a ticket for free. So he got that first. He didn't have to pay for that. There was a ticket gone. We given him a lift down and let him stay where we were staying. So that's landed on his feet as
classic
well.
Love.
And then when we got there, obviously we were out of Accrington, so it was like a 10-minute journey. And the woman who owned the farm says, oh, don't worry about a taxi, I'll give you a lift in.
Oh, nice.
So that saved us taxi money. And then as she was pulling up to the pub opposite the ground, she pulled up and then we got out. And then the car behind us bibbed its horn. The car right behind us bibbed its horn. We thought they were just telling us to hurry up. And it was the guy who had mixed ticket for him. Put the window down, give him his ticket. So he got dropped off, and then literally the guy who had the ticket for him pulled up behind him, says, there's your ticket, mate. So he didn't have to do any organising or arranging to meet in any way. It was literally, everything was just being handed to him.
Sunderland's meeting off, quite literally, and handed to him.
Yeah.
And then what did he say when we asked him to do a show tonight? Can't mate Soz. Was that what?
Kind of, yeah. Just better that in mind. Absolutely.
But anyway, shall we talk about the things?
Yeah, the football. We had a feeling we'd get a reaction about the reaction pod. So if people have listened to this, so firstly, what we'll say though is the majority of people who got in touch agreed with what was said.
I don't think it's a case. Well, I'd disagree with a variety of the points that you made, but it was an eloquent discussion. It wasn't like Arsenal,
even though you could tell
we
had a drink. Yeah, it wasn't
type thing.
It was reactionary, but it wasn't, if that makes sense.
So, like, it wasn't.
I think what you've got to bear in mind with the reaction pods as well is you are gauging the mood of that fan base after the game and you're having a discussion. So I don't think anybody was complaining about the fact we won the game. We were always likely to reflect on it in a more positive light today, but it would be untrue to say that we would have left that ground and to say that the majority of the fans who were watching the game were happy with the way that Sunderland took their foot off the gas, because they weren't. Now, whether you agree with that or not, whether you can gauge that's what it feels like the players are doing when you're watching through the telly compared to when you're at the game, you know, maybe that's different. But we were reacting on the mood from the stands. And you know, none of us are advocating that Ross gets sacked or anything like that. I don't think we were being going over the top or overboard, but it's a fact. The stuff we were saying, and if you haven't listened to it, you know, the point we were trying to make was, you know, as soon as we go goal down, there's a lot of people start to question the manager and question everything, and it's a difficult situation for him to be in when that's the case. And since Sunderland have been relegated, I don't think have we really had a statement result? Where, do you know, and I just feel that on Saturday there was an opportunity to do that, because they were terrible. They couldn't pass the ball to each other, and we clearly just thought, right, we've had our lot now. And you know, you might argue that that's fine because you're saving players, you've got a midweek game, and I understand that totally. But I just think on this occasion, it was clear that fans thought, you know, go on, make a statement, because you win that game 5-1. 6-1, the rest of the division goes, oh, look at that. And it makes a bit of a difference. But, you know, we won the game and we're in good form. And I think, you know, we're happy to acknowledge that.
I think, you know, Jack Ross talking today, obviously quite frustrated about some of the points of discussion, like the ones that were had on the
action
pod, and they're not exclusive to that.
Do you think he listened?
Probably not, no.
Somebody's grassed us up there.
Well, the thing is, it's... There's a, like you say, there's a variety of opinions all along the same sort of theme. I wouldn't say I totally agree with it. I get that the statement result thing, I can kind of understand that, and people getting a bit frustrated that we haven't had a 5 or a 6-0 in the however many games we've played since we've come down. Conversely, you know, you look at Jack Ross's situation, he's probably sitting there wondering, I've won 6 of my last 7 games in all competitions, and it's not enough.
And he's totally right, you get
sacked for losing games.
Mm. He's totally right to come out and defend himself, by the way. No problem with that whatsoever. And no, we're not going to, you know, we're going to have a go for one, so he's entitled to have a go back, I think.
What I thought after, it was interesting after the game, Jack Ross did his post-match, and it was sort of the usual kind of thing, pleased with this, pleased with that, you know, the result was good, you know, move on to Tuesday, all that. And it was, I think some would think, oh well, you know, how could he say that? And, you know, because we weren't happy about this aspect of the game, and, you know, we didn't put our foot on their throat in the second half and all that. But it was interesting that there was an interview afterwards as well with Denver Hume, and he made some comments about how they weren't happy with the way they played, and they discussed that after the game in the dressing room. So you could argue it's clear that Jack Ross protects his players publicly, but privately, if you know, there's two aspects to it. I'd say they can play better, definitely, but, and I know some people are talking about putting the foot on the throat and really smashing them, but in a way I would say it, we embarrass them in a different way, and that it was almost like...
Got to think about goal defences.
Yeah, you're right, but like, you know... it was a little bit like, well, I don't know, I'm not a boxing fan, but it was a heavyweight boxer against a super flyweight boxer. And after about, he let them have a punch in the first round. And then, you know, rather than just like knock him out, he'll just keep him at arm's length for 12 rounds, wear him out, and then walk off and say, oh, well done, good try. And it was a little bit...
You've jumped quite a few weights for that analogy to work. Because you could kill somebody for weight differences like that.
But... That's how I felt it was. We didn't get out of first gear. We didn't need to, you know, push on. Now, the argument rightly would be, what if they scored out nothing and then 3-2 and we're in sort of beach mode and they start putting the pressure on, and then it's like, right, we've got to go up a level now. So that's a risky business, and that's where problems could come up. What I would say as well, though, on, you know, the, yes, we lost to Peterborough. People are talking about, again, this always seems to happen, every other team that wins is Brazil. Did you see the Rochdale? Did you see the goals in that Peterborough-Rochdale game? We would have won 6-0 in that game. Did you see the state of the goalkeeper? He went full Jason Steele. He was at fault for about five of the goals. I'm not taking that result away from them. They had to go and get it. But just because, you know, who cares about Peterborough? We're above them in the table. Who cares? Forget about all the other teams. We didn't fall down because of, you know, not beating teams like Peterborough last season. That was where we fell down. Like, if we're talking about Peterborough as one of the contenders this year, you know, in the time that we've been in League One, we've lost to Portsmouth and we lost to Peterborough this season. The other games took 4 points off Charlton, 4 points off Barnsley, 2 points off Luton last season. You know, we've drawn with Ipswich. We beat Portsmouth this season. So, you know, beat Doncaster twice last season. So, you know, it's not like the top teams are not beating them. Where we've fallen down is not never mind hammering, but not beating the rubbish teams in the league. Not drawn with Wigan, drawn with Walsall, drawn with Oxford twice. We drew with Scunthorpe away. Things like that. So, at Shrewsbury at home. These are the results that killed us last year. But this year, you could argue, we're actually... We're now winning those games, you know, comfortably in different ways.
We probably were before the Peter result, actually, because we drew there last season. That possibly did cost us promotion last year, because I think
maybe, you
hold on to that win and we're up last year. Anyway, but I mean, yeah, like I say, just a quick explanation about our reaction.
Wait, you don't
I think it's raw emotion.
I didn't think there was anything bad about it. I'm just saying it was, you know, when I think you, I don't know who it was, it might have been yourself who used a statement papering over the cracks. Well,
I even asked that as a question. I didn't even say that was the case. I asked people if they thought that was it.
I would completely disagree. I mean, what cracks? I mean, very, very, very small cracks if we're papering over when, you know, we played 9 games this season. We've won 6 of them and drawn 2. I mean, you know, and I'd argue as well, because people talk about the manager, the Peterborough game wasn't the manager, that was the players, you know, doing stupid things in the game that cost them the game. And people can say, well, it's the manager who sets them up. Idiotic stuff. I know 09's had his red card rescinded, but don't get involved. That cost us last season. Charlie White doing absolutely idiotic tack challenge for a second yellow card.
3-0 down by then.
Yeah, but it's reflective of an attitude that the players carried into that game, and they're letting themselves get, you know, drawn into stuff again that last season. Everyone will talk about Jack Ross learning, but these players should be learning as well. And Peter was a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a sort of flashback to some of the worst bits of last season that cost us. They came back, and last season we'd had games probably where, like that, where we'd drawn a game where we felt we should have won it, and then people were annoyed about it, and then we'd think, oh, well, we've got like Scunthorpe to come, or we've got Oxford to come. We should win that game. Got Accrington at home, and then we don't win the game. I feel as though this time we are winning more of the games in the sample size, but like, it's, you know, we've won 2/3 of the games that we've played. The draws killed us last year, as everyone kept on saying. We're not drawing as many games this season.
We'll see, I guess.
You know, we haven't drawn since the second week of the season.
We'll talk about tomorrow's game in a bit. I do feel like it's an important one. It could be a good yardstick to see where we are. Back to the game itself. Some beautifully crafted goals. Lyndon Gooch's finish, sensational, absolutely sensational, and he's been a real positive this season, Lyndon, hasn't he?
Yes, I think his end product at times. He still does frustrating things. The great thing about that, he doesn't have to think about it. Who was it who put the ball over? Was it? It was
Hume. Yeah, it was a great ball. But if you remember towards the back end of last season, most Sunderland fans you would talk to wouldn't have had Lyndon Gooch in the team now. Nobody would take him out of the team.
Oh, no,
right?
He's got 3 goals this season, hasn't he? So, you know, he'll be probably our top scorer, won't he? In the league.
Possibly.
But, you know, he's been fine. You know, I think there's still more. I thought McGeady was quiet at the weekend.
Yeah, he was.
you know, Maguire was probably the most involved of the forward players, and obviously did really well for the McNulty goal. Mm.
Is Will Grigg unlucky not to be started? So everybody was saying Will Grigg, you know, so against it was it when we won at Wimbledon. So he created that chance for himself and he missed, and everybody's saying, "Oh yeah, he's doing all right. He just needs one going off his arse or something, and it'll be fine." And then he gets a chance at Burnley, who, despite making all those changes, put a strong team out, and he finishes a goal and he finishes it really well. And then he's out the team again. You kind of feel, I kind of feel from in a way where I know Ross clearly likes McNulty, but I just think if ever was a moment to throw your support behind Will Grigg, that would have been it.
Maybe, but remember, it was Wyke who was a, you know, ahead of both of them at that point.
But McNulty
had been injured.
McNulty come into the next game.
Yeah, but he's probably more of a link player than, because Maguire was out. Would McNulty have played if Maguire was fit? Probably, I think Maguire would have played. So he's come in for him, really. So Grigg would probably have.
So what about this game? But what about this game then? Maguire's played as the link player.
Yeah, and I think that's his best position, and it makes us better. And I didn't have a massive problem with McNulty playing because he's been playing well.
No,
so it just goes to show how tough it is. And the frustrating thing, you know, the chance it gets, you know, analysed. You know, it was a bit of a rubbish ball by McGeady, and he's pushed him wide. But once he gets it under control, he's set himself quite nicely, and then he seems to snatch at it. He thought like he might have slotted it in at the just the near post because there seems
he's
to be a lot
to
of
go,
space
he's
there.
He's trying to go back across, like because the keeper's coming across, isn't he? So
sure
he's a goal scorer. You can understand.
But he hasn't caught the ball, has he?
No.
But again, where you're like analysing that chance in micro detail to find out whether it was a bad miss or whether he or making excuses for him, or it was just, you know, the problem that Will Grigg has had. He probably hasn't had enough opportunities created for him. If he gets three like that in a game, he'll score one. But I bet you he's thinking, why can't I have the one that McNulty had in the first half?
Yeah, of course, definitely.
Mm-hmm. You know, he never seems to get like a tap in. He should have scored more goals since he's come here.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say he would be getting a bag full more, but I guess if he did have a few more, he might be a bit more confident.
I still think there's something that come from him. Okay, midfield, interesting. Grant Leadbitter was disappointing, I thought. What you get from Grant is, although he can't get around the pitch like he used to be able to, but his ball retention is very good, and he can pick a pass, and he's got good vision. And every time the ball goes to his feet, you feel comfortable he's not going to give it away. Now, he was giving it away at the weekend. Players were going past him quite easily. Yeah. Again, it's one game. I like Leadbitter, but I do think Dobson's mobility highlighted the fact that Grant can't get about the pitch even more. And I thought McGeoch played well again when he came on.
I think he needs it. I wouldn't have Leadbitter in my three to start. Personally, but I just like he's good, like the set pieces are great, but I just think sometimes he gets like taken out of the game really easily with like either someone goes past him or a runner goes past.
Happened a few times the weekend,
so, and especially when you're kind of playing a little bit of a 4-4-2, it's not quite because obviously Maguire's dropping in, but he's more attack minded, so sometimes you can get played through. And I think that he's a bit guilty of the game passed him by times when he's on the ball. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Normally, that's what you'd say. But at the weekend, he was quite sloppy.
Sometimes we do let teams have the ball as well, which, you know, people could have a debate about whether they like that or not. But if you're in a team that lets the others have the ball, and you get sort of passed round and you can't recover, you've got a problem. So, you know, it's sad, but because, you know, it's Grant Leadbitter and, you know, he came back to his team and all this kind of thing. I'm sure he's like a good guy and all that kind of thing, but I was surprised that it was Power who came out. But I would have Power and Dobson in for the Rotherham game.
Okay. I mean, Dobson played well. I like him. He gets about the pitch. A little bit... he's raw, like a little bit rough around the edges, but what you expect that really with his age.
He's like a bargain bin Jordan Henderson, really, isn't he?
Mm, yeah.
Like in style, you know.
Yeah.
He looks like very similar stature-wise, and the way he kind of moves around, he reminds us of Henderson when he came through initially. He's probably a little bit more mobile than Henderson when he first came. But I'm not saying they have the same standard at the point where they came through. But in style, I mean, you would have thought that Dobson would probably, you know, if he plays regularly, he's played a lot of games for a young lad. Mm. So if he keeps on playing, gets the opportunities, and he seems to have a good, you know, mentality, which you need, obviously, when you're playing for Sunderland. As Jack Ross has kind of shown today with his comments, you know, it's taken a while for him to sort of have a little bit of a snap back.
Mm. Which he's entitled to do.
Yeah.
You watch the game, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
What do you think of the goal? Their goal?
Weird. I'm not really sure how they managed to get it. It was great first touch by the forwards. But you shouldn't be done by the 50-yard pass from the halfway line. The space was a bit... There wasn't a lot of space in behind, which is a weird thing. It was still quite compressed. I wouldn't say the line was particularly high. The keeper.
At fault?
I don't know if... At fault.
Contributed.
Contributed, yeah. He came to seem to like make his decision very quickly to come out. When there was three defenders kind of putting the forward under pressure. I mean, he might drive it in the corner, like, if the keeper stands up. But it's a split-second decision, isn't it, that you've got to make, and that's probably why he's playing at this level, isn't it, really? Well, sometimes a split-second decision costs you.
Okay. We'll have a tiny little break now, and then we'll talk about the Rotherham game.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we're going to spend 10 minutes or so just talking about the Rotherham game. It's interesting to see what he's going to do with the team. Isn't it? Because we all keep acknowledging we've got a strong squad there, particularly with the midfielders. How many changes do you envisage he will make?
So you always think he's going to make a few, and he doesn't, does he?
I wouldn't be making loads. We had a week off the weekend before, didn't we? So you know, I don't think the players will be tired, and I think he's going to want to keep a winning team as much as he can. So do we think he'll make any changes?
I mean, I know McNally's had that extra week, but he had that injury, didn't he? Maybe he'll think about, well, could he come out and Grigg could come in, or White could come in. I think Gooch, McGeady and Maguire will be the three. I think Power will come back in for Ledbetter. or maybe McGee will come back in for Ledbetter.
It's more likely to be McGee, I would have thought, with the way those two play.
Maybe.
I think he would want...
At home, though.
I know what you're saying about Dobson and Power, and it does seem like when you're thinking about players who get around the pitch and do that, it does seem tempting, but I can't help thinking, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with him if he did think like this, I just can't help thinking that to maintain an element of control, especially when it's not a flat three across the middle and you've got Maguire sort of in the hole, in order to keep an element of control with possession of the ball, Ledbetter or McGeoch would would make sense. And I'll be surprised if Ledbetter come out if it wasn't McGee or Cook come in.
I just think either would be fine, and Powers being his preferred choice. If you're rotating them, Ledbetter's turn to come out, really, because he seems to have played a lot of games. He seems to play most of the league games, apart from the first one, I think. So, yeah, I would have him in. I would have Power in, sorry, instead of Ledbetter alongside Dobson. And I think, you know, the back four would keep the same. I wouldn't change the back four. The back four tend to be the same. Was De Bock even on the bench at the weekend?
Was what, sorry?
Was De Bock on the bench?
I can't say I noticed.
I don't think he was.
I wasn't looking out for him particularly, but I'd be surprised if he would have left back on the bench. Why would you?
If he got a right back, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he'd do that.
I just was curious. So, and Hume, I thought Hume had was probably best game of the season.
He played all right, Hume, yeah.
So that's a positive because he is a good player. He's got like loads of potential. So, and people are probably a little bit quick to put the boot in on him this season when he'd had some indifferent performances, especially when he was being asked to play it, sort of left wing back. But he seems to be growing into it. I thought it was a fantastic cross in for the. It was like the perfect cross for the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that it would be possibly two changes. You might think it changes the forward. And,
think you will. So can White come in? I mean, we don't know, but in your opinion, would you put White in? What would you do?
I would probably just keep with McNulty.
Stick with the same team apart from the change of midfield?
Just change Ledbetter for. I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed if McGeoch came in, but I would change him out. I mean, it's going to be an interesting one because they obviously won heavily at the weekend against.
And they look like they're going to be up there. They're going to be one of the sides. Well, they're certainly going to be in the playoffs. I think
they might. I mean, they didn't have a great start. I think they were down 15-16 before Saturday. So, and they obviously spent a lot of money on Ladapo, one of the billion strikers we were linked with in January. I know they lost some of their better players, I think, when they went down. Some of them, I think, actually some of them have moved to teams. I think one of them moved to Portsmouth and had a few players move on. But going back to, you know, some of the comments about the weekend, I'm expecting us to win the next three games. I'd expect us to beat Bolton and I'd MK Dons. These are the games. So if we took 7 points and the draw was Rotherham, I know points are points. But with the way sort of everything gets analysed, if you're going to draw one of the three games and win the other two, you draw the Rotherham game because you can say, well, they're the best team of the three.
We can't be drawn at home.
Yeah, but then that. So my expectation is that we win. Like my I was saying today, and this will probably come back. Like you know, before the Lincoln game, it's like, well, it's the first game for the new manager. That's probably what will happen. Like after I've said this, so sorry, Jack Ross in advance. But I expect us to win the next three games before the Lincoln game, and I think we'll be top of the league by the time the Lincoln game comes around.
Okay. Would change everything completely. And again, going back to maybe some of the reaction on Saturday was because there is this mood and this it's not even discontent in the fans. I think one of frustration more than anything because we know the team's not kicking on like they can. So this is why it's a big game for us, this, because I know you said Rotherham got off to a poor start, but they are one of the better teams in the division. They're off the back of a resounding win at the weekend. And it's been at home. It feels like particularly midweek, where last season we struggled a bit, and that just adds to the feeling of frustration to the fans, and you do feel like, okay, we didn't get the resounding win that we wanted, and we didn't kick on and score five or six or whatever, so let's just back it up with a win, because we didn't do that enough. But probably not.
And, you know, we had one really good winning run last season around sort of October time, wasn't it? But if you go on little runs where you win 4-6 and then you get beat or whatever and then you have another little run, that's going to get you enough points to be near the top. And I thought it was interesting the weekend last year. I know it's early days and some of the teams at the top of the league will be there kind of falsely because they've just had a decent start, but they haven't got the skills, you know, within the squad to maintain it. And you know, Portsmouth haven't played two games. Like, I think they've got three games in hand on Coventry at the top. But it felt like last year, every time you looked at the teams at the top of the league, no matter what they won, they're just winning constantly. They're just machines. This year, looked at it, Fleetwood dropped points at Southend, which is a terrible result. Coventry dropped points. Blackpool dropped points. Blackpool haven't won in five. Ipswich dropped points. All those teams around, the only teams that won in that area were obviously Wickham dropped points. So the only team in that top six, seven, eight area that won was ourselves and Peterborough. So, you know, that's a bit different to last season. I know that Luton kind of had a slow start and then just went on a ludicrous run. But Barnsley were kind of always milling around there. And I remember as well people talking about Peterborough. They've got a bit of a habit for starting the season.
Well, they
like
won
this.
The first five games.
Oh, they were smashing teams as well. And then they just kind of hit a bit of a brick wall. And then
this time round, though, they didn't win the first couple of games. And I think in the last three games, they've won like 4-0, 3-0. And
yeah, they went to MK Dons and won 4-0, beat us 3-0, and they won 6-0. So. But that's not realistic form to maintain, is it?
Well,
if they do, then fair play to them. Yeah. They've won the league by January. You know, I think their goal difference is plus 12 at the moment.
You'd be buzzing at the minute of Peterborough find you winning 4-0.
Oh, yeah, you would.
Then you're beating Sunderland, who are the favourites for the league, 3-0, and then you're winning 6-0. I mean, their confidence is going to be sky high. But that's what we're saying about the making a statement and those statement results, because suddenly the rest of the division look at it as well, and psychologically, a bit of a fear factor goes in, perhaps. How confident were you? Give me a prediction. You're saying you expect us to win the game. Do you think we will win the game?
2-0 to Sunderland. First clean sheet of the season. We're due one. Haven't had a clean sheet in ages since that Portsmouth semi-final. So,
okay. Anything else you want to talk about?
Are you going to give a prediction for the game? I've given an even bolder prediction. I'm saying we're going to be top of the league by the time we play Lincoln.
I think we'll win 3-1 again tomorrow.
Take that. I'll take any win. I'm not really bothered. If we win the next three games and we've won them the same way we played against Accrington, I couldn't care less. We need what? I said 28 wins when there was 24 teams. Let's say 27 wins. If we've got four at the moment. You know, so we need another 23. So let's win the next three. Then we'll need 20.
Okay, well, it's just a small window to listen to this one then, because we are playing
tomorrow night,
Tuesday night.
Fans on tomorrow night.
Yep.
Steve's are doing it, apparently.
Stephen Elliott's going to be there. We'll do a reaction pod after that. And then we'll be back on Thursday as well, where we'll be previewing the game against Bolton at the weekend, where it feels like we'll inevitably lose because they haven't won it all season.
I mean, yeah. Well, I took the lead after 4 minutes, so probably thinking, this is it.
Yeah.
6-1 down, I think it were, by about the 70th minute.
Be interested to see what happens to them midweek and how they react to it. So, thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.